it's relevant for us to address this and understand God's heart behind this and help you understand what God wants you to do about this. So that's why we're going to talk about porn and masturbation, because I think Jesus has a lot to say about it. So let me pray before we get started, because it's going to be a little bit interesting, but I pray that you'll have a mature heart about this. All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you. We just want to talk about this serious issue, porn and masturbation. I know it's not comfortable. It's not something that the church really talks about openly. But I pray that we would be mature about it and understand your heart and what you're teaching us about this. Thank you so much. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so I think part of the problem with porn and masturbation is that the message that you're receiving from the world says that it's not a problem. Part of the problem is the world says it's not a problem. For instance, friends and media, you may have heard this before, right? You may have told yourself this. They say a lot of times, if it feels good, just do it. It feels good. What's so wrong with that? You may have heard, you're not hurting anyone, so you might as well do it. Everybody's doing it, so you should just go and do it yourself. What's the big deal? It's not a big problem. Not only your friends and media are saying that, but also research and scientific studies are saying it is not a problem. There's research done that says masturbation actually improves your immune system. It actually helps you become healthier. Australian scientists said that if you masturbate 5 times a week, that's a lot, 5 times a week, if you do that, your chance of getting prostate cancer goes down by a third. Okay, so it's actually, they found that scientifically it's actually good for you. It's not a problem. So I know some of you guys are like, well, this is good. Like, I feel good about doing this now. Not only science says that, but also the government says it's not a problem. The UK government, along with other European nations, in 2009, they encouraged people to masturbate at least once a day. They would hand out these pamphlets to their people, and they would say, let me get this right, an orgasm a day keeps the doctor away. They would actually write that on a pamphlet and pass it out to people and encourage them. Sorry, it's weird. Encourage their own people to masturbate a day because they thought it was good. Statistics on masturbation say it's not a problem, but in fact it's very common. In the 50s, there was a study done that said that 92% of men and 62% of women had masturbated at least once in their lifetime. 92% of men, 62% of women. Masturbation is not just a guy issue and struggle. It's actually for women too. Another study was done in 2007, and they showed pretty much a relatively same statistic. 95% of men ages 16 to 44 and 71% of women have masturbated at least once in their lifetime. On a regular basis, 53% of men masturbated on at least once in a week, and 18% of women did it in the past 7 days in a week. So it's pretty common. Pretty regular. Statistics on porn, they show that Christians actually think it's not a real big problem. 70% of Christian men ages 18 to 34, they admit to seeing porn at least once a month. And a third of those were women that watch porn too. It's not just a guy issue, girls struggle with this too. 50% of men, Christian men, are addicted to porn. And this is not just a guy's problem too, it's like pastors. Another study found that 37% of pastors admitted to struggling with internet porn, and 51% of the pastors said it's a temptation for them too. Another study was done in 1994 that said 82% of Christian males masturbate or watch porn at least once a week, and 23% of them, the reason why they did it, 23% of them said it's for enjoyment. Only 23%, like less than a fourth. The other people, they said they did it because it was habit. They were addicted. They had no other sexual outlets. And so they just masturbated. Those are the other reasons. Only 23% because it was fun, pleasurable, enjoyed it. So is masturbation and porn a problem? According to the world, they say no. It's not a problem. It's good. The government tells you that, the health industry tells you that, a lot of statistics, people will tell you that it's not a problem. But I think a lot of us here, especially if you've grown up in the church, if you connected with Jesus and you understand what the Bible, you read the Bible, I think you understand deep down spiritually, it is a huge problem. And so I'm going to give you 8 reasons why porn and masturbation is a problem and why you should stop for those of you guys who are struggling with it, guys or girls. If you're struggling with porn and masturbation, 8 reasons why it's a problem and why you should stop. Number one, it's a sin. This is probably what you've heard already, but it's pretty obvious. The Hebrew word for sin is chata, the Greek word is hamartia, and it means to miss the mark. So just like that target right there, right? If you want to hit a bullseye, get a perfect score, you need to hit right in the middle, the center. Anything outside of that, you miss the mark. You miss the center. You miss the perfect score. Sin is missing the mark, missing the center. And the center in terms of sexually, it's yada. To know God, to be known, and to deeply respect. This intimate, connected, vulnerable kind of sex that we talked about 2 weeks ago. That is the mark. Anything outside of that is sin. Specifically, what sin that we're talking about is lust. If you lust, that misses the mark of yada. And what is lust? It's actually this intense emotional desire for something that you crave so much for your own pleasure and for your own gain. So, like we talked about, like if you read Matthew 5 and the verse up there, you have heard that it was said, this is Jesus talking, do not commit adultery, but I tell you that anyone that looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. So this lust, where this guy wants this woman so bad, he craves it, he almost covets it, it's a sin, it's lust, right? And so even for some of you guys or girls who watch porn, when you desire that, when you lust after that, when you have this intense emotion, desire for that, you crave that for your own selfish gain, it's a sin. And so a lot of times when you see a pretty girl walk by and you have this intense desire, this emotion to lust after her, it's a sin because you start in your mind undressing her. In your mind you start fantasizing about how she looks underneath. And you start visualizing and picturing yourself having sex with her sometimes if it goes down that path. And so that's why you commit adultery with her according to Jesus' words. You may not have physically done it, but in your mind, mentally, and spiritually you have committed adultery. So porn and masturbation misses the mark. It's sin. It goes against God's gold standard, heavenly standard for sex. Number two reason, it takes away the purpose and power of sex in marriage. Remember, we talked about sex. The purpose and reason is created for an exclusive, committed relationship called marriage so that you could be one, a cop, and then you could also experience yada, this personal, intimate, vulnerable kind of relationship. When you have sex by yourself, masturbation or with porn, you take away the purpose and power of sex. Because when you have sex, you need how many people? Two. Not one, not three, just two. And it needs to be done in a proper context called marriage. Sex in marriage takes two. Porn and masturbation makes it only one. Porn and masturbation makes sex a solo sport, like golf. Okay? Like golf, you don't need anyone other than yourself to play golf. It's more fun to play with other people, but honestly, it's a very individual sport. You just need yourself, the club, the ball, and that's it. And you can just play 18 holes by yourself. You don't need anyone. It's not fun, but you can do it. The game is self-sufficient with just yourself. And that's what happens with porn and masturbation. It's just by yourself. Versus sex, godly sex, yada sex, this oneness, it takes two. It's a team sport. It's like tennis, right? Like doubles. You play doubles. You need someone else to play tennis with. You can't play tennis by yourself. You even need, like, even if you're playing by yourself, with against someone, you need at least another person to play tennis with, right? You can't play by yourself. That'd be weird. I don't even know how you do it. It'd be just hit the ball and that's it, right? There's no return. There's no competition. There's no fun game. And that's what happens with porn and masturbation. It's just a solo sport. That's not the way, the purpose, and it takes away from the power of what God had intended. It misses out on great and godly sex. And you settle for something that's far shorter from what God had intended. Number three, it makes you less of a man or a woman. It makes you less of a man or a woman. Porn and masturbation are for weak men and women. Because it makes you lazy, selfish, and immature. If you know anything about relationships, most of you guys are not into relationships, so you may not know this, but relationships are very hard. It takes a lot of hard work. It takes a lot of effort. Because you got to serve the person, you got to love the person, you got to give, sacrifice, work through issues and conflict. It takes a lot out of you to make a relationship work. Porn and masturbation is an easy way to avoid all that messiness of the relationship and yet still have pleasure with all these millions of women or men in your head or on the screen. I know a lot of you guys are like, well, what's wrong with that? That's the whole purpose of why I do it. I don't want to be in a relationship. It's messy. I don't want to do that. I just rather just do my own thing. If that's you, then you're going to miss out on this yada sex, this godly sex that we talked about. You're going to miss out on this connection, this vulnerability, this intimacy. And you're going to settle for superficiality, for just surface level stuff, and it's not going to satisfy you. Even for me, like understanding, even though I'm married and I have an awesome relationship, an awesome wife, there's times where I want to be very selfish and immature and just have sex and not to do the whole romance thing, not to give, serve, sacrifice, to do all this stuff and just think about myself. When I do that, our relationship, our dynamics, our love marriage, it becomes more selfish, more self-centered, not connected, not intimate. It becomes more about just this physical thing rather than understanding the beauty of romance, the beauty of intimacy, vulnerability, of loving each other while we engage in sex. Number four, it can make you addicted. It can make you addicted. 1 Corinthians 6:12 says, everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. Everything is permissible for me, but I will not be mastered by anything. Paul is saying he doesn't want to be mastered by anything. Have you guys heard of Gollum? Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, right? Now, Gollum, before he was Gollum, as you know him, he was like a normal dude, right? Like, you can't really see it on this screen, but he's like a normal, good-looking guy, had a family and friends, had a whole life, right? And all of a sudden, he finds this ring, and he lusts after the ring. He has this intense desire for this ring. He gets so addicted by this ring and the power of the ring, the power that the ring possesses, he forsakes his relationships, he forsakes his family, he forsakes his health, he forsakes everything in his life that's so important just for this ring. So much to the point that he starts to look like the guy on the right. Right? He used to look like the guy on the left, but now he's the guy on the right. This ugly, nasty, he eats fish, like not the sashimi, like sushi kind. He just eats it straight up. It's gross. He gets so addicted that he becomes a completely different person. Research shows that you can be addicted to porn. You can be addicted to masturbation. They say that porn is a crack cocaine of sexual addiction. Because when you, like a drug, if you have it, you want more of it. And so with porn and masturbation, when you have it, you want more of it. And if you continue to be exposed to these things, your brain, it's a physiological thing too, like your neurochemicals in your brain, when you get stimulated by these images and these things, your brain, the neurochemicals, it starts to rewire the pathways in your brain and it starts to affect the way you make decisions because you're so addicted, because your body is so overloaded with this stimuli. And when you do watch the porn or masturbate or whatever, your body releases these chemicals called dopamine. And it's like a pleasurable, fun, like, experience, right? Your body's like, this is good, experience it, right? But when you get addicted to it, you overload your body with all this stimuli, the porn, that your dopamine level starts to get reduced because your body can't always be throwing out dopamine. So that means you have to watch more stuff and harder stuff to increase that level of dopamine in your body. So that's why people who get addicted, like, to drugs, they need more and more. They get harder and more or stronger substances to feed that addiction because their stimuli, the dopamine level, gets dramatically reduced. So you need to overcompensate to get more dopamine. That's what happens with porn. People who just start with porn and they get the dopamine, the pleasurable experience, when they watch more and more and more, they need harder core porn. They need more extreme forms of that stuff. So a lot of times they start to get into child pornography. They start to get into pedophilia, sex abuse, all these different things that they didn't get before because they're so addicted, their brain chemicals, their decision pathways, everything is being changed. They're so addicted to it. Number five, it distorts your view of your husband and your wife. The standard of beauty for you guys should be your husband and your wife. When you get married, that is the most beautiful person in your life. She or he is the most beautiful person. That is the standard, the gold standard for you. We read Proverbs 5, 18 and 19, and it's just about Song of Solomon. Solomon telling other people that your wife, enjoy your wife, enjoy her body, enjoy who she is, so you aren't going to commit adultery. You're not going to find your satisfaction in someone else. Enjoy her. Enjoy him. But if you watch a lot of porn, and you masturbate a lot to a lot of it, you will inevitably, subconsciously even, start comparing your wife to Victoria's Secret models, to these porn models and actors and actresses, and you start to be thinking like, man, why doesn't my wife or why doesn't my husband look like that guy or that girl? And you start to compare, you start to contrast, and you start to be very unfulfilled in your marriage bed. You won't find pleasure in your husband, your wife, your boyfriend even, and your girlfriend if you go that route. It'll totally distort your view of your spouse, your husband, your wife, your boyfriend, girlfriend. So porn and masturbation, it hurts and distorts your view of your spouse. I hope you don't believe the lie that when you get married, then you'll stop watching porn, then you'll start masturbating. That is a huge lie. If you struggle with it now and you're hoping like all I need to do is get a boyfriend or girlfriend, then I'll be good. Then I'll be fine. Or if I get married and I have sex finally, then I'll be good. I won't struggle with it. That is a huge lie. It doesn't work like that way. Because when you do have these millions of images of women that you've compiled into your brain, and you start to go into marriage bed with your wife or your husband, it's going to affect that dynamic. That might temporarily help you, but it's not going to fix you. It's not going to heal you. It's not going to restore that marriage and give you yada sex, because you bring all this baggage into it. You need to deal with it now. Example, Tiger Woods. You guys know about Tiger Woods, what happened with him? Great golfer, one of the greatest golfers ever. And he married a beautiful woman, attractive woman, had beautiful kids. Was he satisfied with that? No, because he was a sex addict. He was like Gollum. He was a sexually Gollum kind of guy. But he, even though he had a beautiful wife, beautiful kids, rich, money, everything, he wasn't satisfied by that. His view of his wife was totally distorted because he had all these other women in his life that he wanted to experience. He was addicted to sex. He was addicted to these pleasures. And so he ruined everything. He lost his marriage. He lost his kids. He lost everything that was so important and valuable because he was an addict. Because his view of his wife was totally distorted by these other women and pornographic stuff. Number six, destroys your relationship and marriage. Your marriage most likely will fail if you're addicted to porn. Did it for Tiger Woods, most likely will for you. 56% of people get divorced because one of the spouses are addicted to porn. 56%, it's very high. More than half of the marriages end up in divorce because of porn. These people are so addicted to porn, they become like Gollum, and they lose the relationship, the most important thing. And it works for churches too. A lot of churches are broken up and destroyed because of pastors' unfaithfulness, where a lot of pastors will commit adultery with another person in the congregation. I knew someone in college, a college pastor, he had actually committed adultery with another, his secretary, and that church had a huge drama and split. My high school chaplain, he was addicted to online pornography, and that kind of had a huge ripple effect in our school, in our church, and everything. Porn does destroy relationships, and it destroys churches and organizations too. Next, it may make you a criminal, pedophilia, or killer. I know this sounds a little extreme, but just follow along with me. If you get addicted to porn or masturbation, you become like Gollum, and you start to get into this heavy stuff, like really hardcore stuff, the consequences are very severe. There's a guy named Ted Bundy. You guys heard of him? Infamous, notorious serial killer in the 70s. He had raped, murdered, and beat up 30 girls ages 12 to 26. And he got interviewed right before he got executed with James Dobson, Focus on the Family, really huge Christian leader. And he was sharing like what happened with him, why he killed these girls, 30 girls. He raped, beat, and killed 30 girls. And this guy didn't have the normal triggers that most of us think a person that is a serial killer has. He wasn't sexually abused growing up. He grew up in a Christian family. He went to church every Sunday. He had great parents, very loving. He had great brothers and sisters. They didn't fight or anything. He says in the interview, the reason why he became a serial killer was because of porn. Because it started out with porn and it got into harder stuff. He was addicted. He got hardcore. He got more hardcore, more extreme, that it finally, he had to live out these sexual fantasies. And so he did. And this is what he says in one of his interviews. He says, as a young boy of 12 or 13, I encountered outside the home, in the local grocery and drug stores, softcore pornography. Young boys explore the sideways and byways of their neighborhoods, and in our neighborhood, people would dump the garbage. From time to time, we would come across books of a harder nature, more graphic. This is also included detective magazines, etc. Now, I want to emphasize this. The most damaging kind of pornography, and I'm talking from hard, real, personal experience, is that involves violence and sexual violence. The wedding of those two forces, as I know only too well, brings about behavior that is too terrible to describe. So when he watched the porn and he gets so hard into it, he started seeing abuse and violence in that, mixed in with that, he started to act on that and live that out. His fantasy became reality. And that's what can happen if you get so lost into that stuff, it can make you a killer. Next, last one. Porn makes you support prostitution and sex trafficking. There's a lot of studies been done. In 2010, they found out by this group that porn is the foundation of human trafficking business. Because a lot of the pornography that you may watch, it may actually have trafficked women or minors. Trafficked women or minors. They might not look like minors. They might be 17 or 16 and their bodies are fully developed and they're just saying on the video that they're 18 and above. But in reality, they're trafficked, they're forced into it, or they're actually kids. They're like you, high schoolers. But they're not in high school, obviously, because they're trafficked. They're taken from their countries, taken out of where they should be, and put into situations where they don't want to be. So when you watch that stuff, you may be actually supporting this. Because pornography is the foundation for where this all starts. A quote that was made, the message is clear. If prostitution is the main act, porn is the dress rehearsal. Porn is the training ground, the bed ground for a lot of this stuff. Because it feeds the demand for sex. It feeds this desire, this lust for sex. So people are obviously going to try to make a business out of it with people and feed that desire. So when you watch it, when you engage in it, you're actually supporting sex trafficking. And if you watch Nefarious, the video screening, and other, all these documentaries on it, it's pretty horrific. So I hope you know it's a problem, and those are the reasons why you should stop. Now I'm going to give you 7 reasons how to stop. How to stop if you are struggling with porn or masturbation, how do you stop? The best answer that I found was eat cornflakes. Kellogg's cornflakes. In the 1900s, Dr. Kellogg's created the cereal cornflakes because he thought that this would help you, young men, curb your masturbatory desires. He thought a good, healthy breakfast diet would make you not masturbate. Obviously, he was wrong, but he didn't make a lot of money. But that's why I eat Honey Bunches of Oats, because that's way more effective. I'm kidding. Eating cereal does not make it go away, okay? It's going to be there. So in all seriousness, these are 7 ways that I think can help you. If you're struggling with this, I encourage you to write these down. Please take this seriously. Number 1, be honest with yourself. Be honest with yourself. You like it. You are hormonal, and you like these images. You like the pleasure that you get. You like the feeling that it creates. You like it. Admit it. Just be honest with yourself. For me, growing up, I struggled with masturbation and soft porn for like 4 years. And I always try to figure it out, like try to deal with it, try to try harder, and I won't struggle with it. But it first started when I admitted that I actually did enjoy it, that I actually liked the sin, that I actually enjoyed its part. I had to admit it and be honest with myself and honest with Jesus if I really wanted to deal with this. So the first step for a lot of you guys, be honest, admit it, that you like it. Just be real with yourself. Stop trying to fool yourself. I know you think it's bad and you feel guilty, but at the same time, you do like it. So be honest with that. Number two, repent and confess to Jesus. The issue here is not behaviorally, like changing yourself, like trying to stop it. The issue is changing your heart and your mind and allowing Jesus to change it. Because you can't figure it out. You can't do it on your own. When you know you've repented is when you have truly hated the sin. Because when the first step, you have to admit that you like it, right? That you actually love it, you enjoy it, it's fun, it's good, you get something out of it. But if you truly repent and confess to Jesus, you know because you hate the sin. That's when how God really freed me. When I hated this, I was like, this is disgusting. I understand this breaks your heart, that this is not how you intended sex to be, that it's disgusting in your eyes, and I see the same way too. I'm so disgusted by it. I can't believe it. Why? Why did I ever do this? That's when you know you truly repented. You truly confess, or you hate the sin. Number three, make a covenant and pray every day against temptation. Job 31:1, I make a covenant with my eyes not to look lustfully at a girl. Job, one of the most faithful guys on the planet in our history, he made a covenant with his eyes not to lust after a girl. He even struggled with this, and so he made a covenant. He prayed every day, I'm not going to struggle. If Job did that, and he's a man of faith, I think we need to do the same thing. Admit, repent, and pray every day, and make a covenant to not look lustfully at a girl. Number four, repent and confess when you make a mistake. You will fail, especially if you're really addicted and you want to stop, you will fail. But when you fail, the focus is on having Jesus change you. Because you need to come to Jesus and be honest with him and say, you know what, Jesus, I'm trying. I'm sorry I messed up again. Forgive me. I need your mercy. I need your grace. Transform my heart, my mind to not see this sin through my eyes, but through your eyes. You got to ask for that. Jesus changed you. He's the one that heals you, not you. How do you know if you truly repented? You hate the sin, but this is kind of how it works. If you watch porn, you masturbate, you feel guilty and shamed and embarrassed and bad about it, right? But instead of just feeling that, you go to Jesus. You go to Jesus and Jesus, I screwed up again. I messed up. I failed. Forgive me. Help me. Change me. And you ask Jesus to come in and just transform you again. You go to Jesus. That's when you know you're repenting and you're trying to get back on with Jesus. You know you're not repenting when you watch porn, masturbate, feel guilty, bad, and ashamed, and embarrassed, and you don't go to Jesus. You actually feel horrible. You feel like a worse person. You feel like Jesus can't love you, that you've messed up so much that no one could love you, and then Jesus is so disgusted by you. And so you think, you know what? I'm a whole person, but I gotta try harder. I gotta do a better job of this. So you start focusing on yourself. You start thinking, it's about me. I gotta do this. I gotta take care of this. And you start thinking, I'm the one that can do it. That's more works-based instead of Jesus-based. And so your mentality, everything about it is like you. I gotta take care of this. Now, of course, you're responsible. But the first way of repenting is understanding Jesus is the one that transforms you and going to Jesus with that open, repent heart. You're not repenting is like you feel bad and you just go farther away from Jesus and you try to do it on your own strength and your own power. And that always messes up. Next one. Share with a brother or sister and keep each other accountable. You got to meet with another brother who struggles with it. Ask for help. Ask for accountability. There's great websites like XXXChurch.com. that you can use it, that monitors your internet browsing and it sends the information to your accountability partners and they know what you're checking and they know what you're seeing. They can talk to you about it. They can discuss and pray and help you confess to Jesus and confess to each other. It's a great way to heal. It's a great way to be proactive and take responsibility. Next one, memorize God's word and do what it says about temptations. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. These sexual temptations that you have, God says they are normal, common, and you can conquer them. They are bearable. They are not overwhelming. Like a lot of you guys think, like, oh, I can't do it. It's too big, too strong. No, this verse says it's not. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. Don't believe the lie that this sin is bigger than Jesus or this sin is bigger than God. God has conquered the sin. God is victorious. And you can be too. And you are too. You have to choose to believe that and choose to live that way. Train your mind and body. Lastly, go exercise. Sometimes you guys are like so like wound up and stressed up that you think this is a good release. But in reality, go exercise, go do something else to get your body physically, like, release all these stresses, hormones, or whatever you need to do. But don't think that this way is the best way. There's other ways to feel that dopamine and get the chemicals going. Exercising, going out, doing other things that can just give you that same sense of satisfaction too. A lot of stuff I threw out there, and I'm going to conclude with a video. So if you get that video ready.